Chapter 15. Rouge. Rouge was still thinking about Aspen's awesome new tats, as they all stood around Lenny. The little man lay on the floor, sullen, still bound, and utterly ungrateful for whatever Aspen had done, waving that teeny scythe around in the air like a crazy person. Seriously, he should get bonus gratitude, just for being willing to look that silly. Aspen still had his mean face on, and his eyes were like frigid topaz chips above his black mask. He was using his "I'm the Lord and you're the minion" voice too, but Lenny was bearing up under it surprisingly well. The guy was apparently still convinced that either this god would smite him, or his fellow maskers would take him out. Which, she had to admit, was actually fairly likely. The Thieves Guild frowned on that kind of thing too. Finally, with a beleaguered sigh, that Word of the Day app was really coming in handy lately, the tall farmer looked at Lyric. "Do it," he said. Lyric squirmed but got out his loot. "Seriously, I don't know why you all think this will work, but whatever." Rouge the Rogue, "Oh my gosh, Jace, just do it. This is going to be awesome." Lyric, "I blame you for this." Rouge the Rogue, "I blame all those games you played bards in that made you think you could play music. You're pretty good with your jaw harp, but you need to actually record yourself or something." Lyric, "I did. I've just never actually tried to play badly." Rouge the Rogue, "Just PLAAAAAAAAAY. Still grumbling, Lyric got out his loot. Leonard laughed. "What, is our bard going to make me nauseated or fearful? I'm not going to tell you." Lyric struck the first chord. It hung in the air, somehow flat and sharp at the same time. Rouge was quite certain that it wasn't a sound that a single instrument could produce in real life, but game logic somehow made it work. Just as the first jangled mess began to fade, Lyric, chin set as he clearly decided to prove his doubters wrong, began to really get into it. "Oh, I never went back to my sweet Molly Mac. For her gasket was blown. And she could only groan. And when I whispered sweet nothings, she ran. Oh, I never went home to my kind lad Jerome. For his cat had had puppies. And he always ate guppies. And when I told him I loved him, he ran. Yes, I oft fall in low ove with beauties from ABO ove. But it never works out in the end. I somehow offend or make a new friend. And whenever I visit, they run. No, I never went to the farm with good fellow charm. For he bought a cow with his funds. And—" A string snapped at the same time as Leonard, who had begun screaming sometime in the middle of the second stanza. "Apophis, my great god, save me. Spare me from this terrible—" His head imploded. Rouge looked at Aspen in disbelief, as she was once again glad she couldn't actually vomit in-game. Imploding was presumably better than exploding, but gross. 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 "I thought you cut the link." Aspen took off his mask, looking at something sticky that she was glad she couldn't see in the low light. Imploding apparently still involved some things that used to be inside going outward, after the plosion. "I did. I'm certain." Unfortunately, doing so attracted the attention of something, and when Leonard spoke the name, well, it seems Leonard's god truly did not wish his name to be known. He carefully folded the mask around the remnants of whatever it was, and tucked it into a pocket. When he saw her look, he shrugged. "Leonard may yet be more helpful to us, but it will require Manuela's assistance." Vaughn, who had retreated as far from Lyric's truly heinous music as he could, had escaped relatively unscathed. He stepped forward now, nudging the body with a foot. "What do we do with it?" Aspen looked at Rouge and Lyric. When a traveler loots a corpse, the corpse decays much more quickly than if a native searches them. "Would one of you care to do the honors?" Lyric was distinctly green, and looked as if he would like nothing more than to rip off his headset and run to the bathroom. He stepped back quickly, using his inventory to switch to a backup set of gear. The first set would need to go to a tailor for cleaning, but this was definitely the easiest way to get cleaned up after a gory battle. He still had something on his cheek, but she wasn't going to mention it. Go for it, Rouge, he managed to choke out. Shrugging, she knelt down over what was left of the body, keeping her gaze on Leonard's dirty boots. He did this to himself, she reminded herself firmly, and set a fingertip on his leg. A moment later, a ball of lint, a suspicious note, 2 silvers and 3 coppers had entered her inventory. The body would break down to fertile soil in about 5 minutes. Rouge pulled the note out of her inventory. It held only 2 words, so she read them aloud. Tonight. 10. Also, whoever wrote this has terrible handwriting and spelling. They spell tonight T-O-N-I-T. Aspen's hand rubbed his jaw. Presumably Leonard knew the location and didn't need to be told. Reminds me of rule number 1 of taking prisoners, search them. We would have had a more specific question to ask if we'd found that first. Well, at least we know the name of the god and… Appleface. Aphid. Apnea. Apode? Rouge asked. Seriously guys, I'm not going to say he who shall not be named, or you know, that guy, every time we need to talk about him, and obviously he pays attention when you say his real name. I mean they all can, right? Just some of them do it more than others. I'm looking at you, Gina. How about Chris? Like he's just a guy or something? Lyric suggested, looking calmer now that he was mostly because cheek clean. Aspen and Vaughn both nodded. That should divert attention from any conversations we may have out loud, Aspen said. Good idea, Rouge, and good suggestion, Lyric. The teenagers exchanged glances, and Rouge could see from Lyric's blush that he was as warmed by Aspen's approval as she was. Which was silly because they were an equal team, but there it was. She felt like her favorite teacher had just given her an A+. Clearing her throat, she glanced down at the body, which was already starting to look a little soft around the edges. So, do we go home then? I mean back to Aspen's stupidly huge mansion that he calls a house? Chuckling, Aspen nodded. Yes. He pulled the mask from his pocket, then reached out and wiped the Leonard bit from Lyric's cheek. Lyric looked like he couldn't decide if he wanted to blush or try to throw up again, but Aspen went on as if he hadn't noticed. We need to get this to Manuela as soon as possible. The journey back to the mansion was quick and easy. Rouge slipped the thief watching the safe house a gold coin, and he gathered up his things and left. The marker was already gone from her map, so the guild knew the place was blown. Then her group cleaned up any lingering traces of their activities. Aspen kept them, which was extra disgusting, and headed off as if they were just a group out for a nice day of shopping. Half an hour later, Rouge's primary inventory had officially grown. It was stupidly expensive to expand your basic inventory, but she'd added 20 slots to hers, so now she could store more things without having to worry about them being stolen or dropped on death. She'd also purchased several much larger and also very expensive chests of holding, so she could stash her nifty new treasures without being covered in bags. The chests could be strapped to burrito, so though they could still be stolen, they'd be a lot easier to carry, and wouldn't be dropped unless someone managed to kill her and steal her pack animal. Speaking of animals though, it was time to go retrieve her bird. Aspen had left Rouge's zombie and Codswallop at a dead tent yesterday before he ran off alone to go do his stuff. When she woke up, she decided to leave Wally there since she wasn't sure what she'd need to be doing, and she didn't want to have to leave him somewhere by himself if she had to go thiefy and break in somewhere. The poor guy had been alone for almost a whole day now, and he'd be sad. When they got to the house, Aspen headed up to his top floor secret lab to do something with the leftover Leonard bits. Vaughn was checking on the kids, and Lyric said he needed to lie down for a while, and logged off. His zombie was standing in the corner of the room, because he hadn't even wanted to wait until she found him a bed. She threw a towel over his head because Aspen was right, zombies were creepy. At last, she scribbled out a quick note and pinned it to the table with one of her many, many knives. It was time to go get her ostrich back. Aspen had showed them all the snazzy secret passage he'd made in the estate wall for his daughter, and she used it now, slipping out in stealth, until she could seamlessly join the flow of people walking around the city. Veritas' online system had some snazzy technique of seamlessly merging servers together, so people who knew each other would always be able to see and interact with each other. In the old days, You had to know what server your friends were on in order to play with them. Other games just put everyone with IP addresses in the same area, or the same native language, on the same server. If Veritas saw that two players lived close to each other, it made sure that they were on the same server, but it would also pull in people with whom you'd exchanged messages or had on your friends list. You could message across servers, so it only mattered when someone was actually close enough that you should be able to see them. Then it would seamlessly shift one of you to the other server, which kept the server loads fairly level, and also made it so that you didn't actually see all the hundreds or thousands of other players who could be standing in the same spot as you. Bright, for instance, was always well populated, but obviously all however many million users playing worldwide couldn't be in the same place at the same time, or nobody would be able to move. It undoubtedly required a lot of processing power to figure all this out, but then, she supposed that was why they had a semi-sentient AI running the show. All of which explained why she wasn't shocked when she saw an elf who looked like a stretched-out and prettified version of Myrna walking toward her chatting with two other elves, who looked just like her little minions from school. Myrna, of course, was Zoe's nemesis from school, a bigoted, hateful, self-important brat who had taken it upon herself to make Zoe's school life miserable. As Zoe had learned recently, however, she was also a teenage girl from a broken home whose father had remarried a black woman named Jasmine. Myrna and her mom apparently blamed Jasmine, and somehow her entire race, for destroying their family, and honestly, Myrna was probably getting a whole lot of poison poured into her ear by dear old mom. Also, Zoe totally understood what it was like to be stuck in the middle of a bitter divorce. She too had been angry, confused, and more than a little bit sad when her parents split. None of which excused Myrna's behavior, but it did make it a lot harder to hate her for it. Darn it! Rouge instantly dropped into stealth, hugging a shadowed wall as the three girls walked by, giggling. Since she was paying attention, the system kindly brought their voices out of the hubbub surrounding them, and she clearly heard a few snippets of their conversation. Seriously love being in Apophis's cult thing. That was Flunky A. Rouge recognized the slight accent left over from an early childhood somewhere other than the United States. I don't know. That was Myrna, who was making that wrinkled nose like something stinks expression that Rouge knew all too well. All the wearing hoods and chanting stuff is a little too realistic. I liked it better when we were just doing reputation quests. Flunky B rolled her inhumanly blue eyes. That's so boring. I mean, I know we need to have a like, super high rep to become nobles and stuff, but making tea for old ladies and finding lost dogs is lame. The girls were walking by right in front of Rouge's hiding place now, and she lost sight of their expressions, but she could see Myrna's shoulders tighten up as she tried for a noncommittal shrug. The other girl obviously had a top-of-the-line pod to pick that up. I don't think I'm going to go to the induction thing tonight. My dad and the step monster are taking me out to dinner at that new Italian place. I'm putting up with it because it's supposed to be très chic. It was Rouge's turn to roll her eyes. Myrna thought she was so special because her mom had hired her a French tutor. She dropped French words into random conversation like they were Skittles from heaven. Fine. Flunky B, and now they were walking away, so Rouge slid left a few feet to keep them in listening range. The trio passed so closely that Rouge could have touched them. If she wanted to break stealth. Though it would be funny to see the looks on their faces. You're going to miss out, though. I think we're going to go up in rank after this quest. The quests are stupid easy anyway. Donate 10 gold coins, take a vow, pay a 10 mana per day tax. I can make it up tomorrow, probably. The other two girls made slightly dubious sounds of agreement, and then they were out of earshot, though Rouge trailed them until she had to stop at the very edge of her patch of shadow. Rouge waited until there were no players nearby, then dropped out of stealth and strolled off down the road. Now it was time to get her bird, and oh boy did she have some things to tell Aspen when they got back.